Okay, welcome to the interview project. Can you tell me your name real quick, just so I can have it down? Full name?
Yeah, Maxim Kuzonikov, but I go by Max.
Where did you
I'm
immigrate from? Oh, sorry, what were you gonna
Kazakhstan. I was just impressed that you were able to spell my last name on the first try.
say? Yeah, for context, by the way, he has access to the document just so he can look over the questions just in case he gets confused in the middle. What city in Tajikistan are you from?
Dushanbe.
How do I spell that?
Dush. I can spell it.
Dush.
Dushanbe. There we go.
ANBE.
B.
Okay, cool. Okay, so when did you immigrate and how old were you when you immigrated?
January 2015, I believe, and I was 14 years old.
Okay, cool. So I guess related to that, you were pretty old when you immigrated. You weren't 3 years old, I think 14. Even though you don't have, these sort of worldly ideas that maybe you have now, you still are old enough to to understand the world around you. You know what I mean? So, what were like some of the biggest like cultural differences you faced, or even just realized? Like maybe it wasn't hard for you to adapt, but.
It wasn't really hard to adapt, but like the biggest cultural difference that I noticed is that America was a lot more diverse when I moved here and kind of a lot more open to different cultures, where in Tajikistan it's kind of just, one race, one language. And most people are just from that country. There's not really con people from different countries.
Is there I just I you know I obviously don't know much about the Tajikistani culture. Is it a religiously strict area?
So it's mostly a Muslim country. I would say like
It's a Muslim
80,
country.
yes, 80 to 90% is Muslim, and then like the 10% is Christian.
Is it and it's like kind of a complicated question. Is it the same sort of Islamic derivative that like Dagestani Muslims are like like Dagestan in Russia, like South Russia. Yeah.
Kind of, yeah, in a way it is.
Okay, I was just curious because what's the there's a is it Orthodoxy Christian? Like what's the Christian that's prevalent
Yes, the
in
Christian
Russia?
there is Orthodox. Yeah, I
Okay,
was baptized actually when I was a little kid, but I did not practice.
Are all the other stands also Islamic in origin, or are some of them Orthodox Christian as well?
It depends. I would say kind of like the percentage of like population of a country being Muslim probably varies from stand to stand.
No, very true. Yeah, I was just curious if it was like generally the same demographic. So, what were the biggest challenges you faced in like your beginning days in America? Because obviously, like, it's not gonna be, you were 14. Like, it could be some sort of like social ostracization. But realistically, like, I think you were smart and old enough to know, like, what it was gonna be like, I guess. So, what was it like for you?
So, biggest challenges definitely the language barrier. So when I was in Tajikistan, I was learning English actually since first grade. I even elementary school, I was getting tutored for English a little bit because my parents are smart. They know that English is like the biggest probably language in the
It's like
world.
why we
So they're
learn Mandarin Chinese,
So they, my dad was learning English and was doing English a little bit for work, I think. And so he was teaching me, and then I did elementary. But my learning of English was from perspective of like, oh, I'm just like learning it as a second language. Like I'm never gonna speak this as my primary language ever. And then So for some context, I'm a refugee. So the fact that we're moving to, I love the cat. The fact that we're moving to the United States was kind of like dropped to me very sudden. So like I didn't really have like
How long did
time.
they? You probably don't know the exact measurement, but like
Like
estimation.
4 months, like
4
four
months.
months,
Okay, okay.
and then we're like out of the country at that
Got
point,
it.
like in the
Got it.
United States. And then like I had to basically kind of speed run learning English like on conversational level, because like I had to adapt and talk to people. But yeah, language was the biggest challenge for me.
Was it more so? Obviously, like English is a very like complex language grammatically. Like conversationally, it might feel a little bit like it makes sense, but obviously when you start writing it down and you start like incorporating commas, semicolons, etc., like it's more complicated. Would you say it was more the grammar part than the vocab part, or the more the vocab part? Or maybe a little bit of both. It could just be a little bit of both.
Honestly, the grammar, because it's like very different from Russian, like the way you structure sentences, it's pretty different. And then, so I don't know what the technical term for it is, but Russian is a gender language. So like words will have gender, like you'll
I
have
know
to
what you
change it
mean.
as to like if you're referring to a woman, you have to change words around. Same with a man. But in English, you don't really do that. It's kind of a
No,
gender neutral. For the most words, it's gender neutral. So yeah, it's definitely the grammar.
I think we rely more on like, I may be wrong, but I'm just guessing it's probably because we rely so much on like pronouns, you know what I mean? And like other like identifying like things rather than like modifying the word. But like, I guess it makes sense. So are you saying it's like different conjugations? Like they conjugate
Yes,
it?
different
Okay.
conjugations.
Cool, cool, cool. I didn't realize, because I think like Latin is kind of similar. Not that anyone speaks Latin anyway anymore, but I learned Latin in high school. But it was gendered in the same way with like us and you know what I mean? Or oh.
Oh, same with my last name, actually. So my last name is in male form, but like my mother's last
Krzyżewnikov,
name, Krzyżewnikowa, at the end it's going
Oh,
to
so
be
wait, really? So her name is Krzyżewnikov. I didn't even. That's so interesting. Back in the language thing, because we kind of touched on this later, but like, did you watch American cart? Like, did you have access to American cartoons growing up? Yeah, like, did that? Like, did you watch them in dub or
I
in
watched
sub?
them in dub. I watched them in
Okay,
Russian.
okay, okay.
I never
100%
watched
of the time.
media. Yeah, 100% of the time I consumed media in Russian when I was in
Okay,
Tajikistan.
okay, okay. Because I know there's like a really specific anecdote, but like Rich Brian, he's like a rapper from Indonesia, who's like an American rapper. He like learned English watching like Rubik's Cube videos online, like in Indonesia, which is like, I could
Interesting.
not imagine, you know what I mean? But it kind of makes sense considering how prevalent American media is, you know? Now I guess back to the circumstances that arose when, your family was leaving. What were the primary factors or circumstances that led to your parents decide to, bring you and your family to America? And remind me, do you have any siblings?
I don't have any siblings, no.
Okay.
So we basically ended up to United States, moving to United States because for legal reasons, like because my family are refugee. So my dad used to work as a journalist back in Tajikistan, and I don't really know like the very fine details of the whole situation,
No,
but I just know that he basically wrote an article. The Tajik government didn't like it. So he got in legal trouble. So he just, we decided to dip. They decided to dip. So, and I guess that was the primary factor. But definitely, education for me was the primary motivation because Tajik education is not as good. Like, higher education is not as good compared to American. So that was definitely one of the main factors.
What was the culture difference like for school, like when you first got here? Not necessarily in a social aspect, but more so in an educational aspect.
So I went to a private school in Tajikistan because public schools in Tajikistan are really kind of bad. I went to probably the best private school you can get to in Tajikistan, or at least top three. Basically,
What's it called, by the way? Just I'm gonna put a note of it. You might not remember.
think it was like Dushanbe Gymnasium, which gymnasium is not like in English, it means like a gym, but in like Russian language, it's more of like a educational facility. That's why it's called that. So American middle school and high school system, I feel like I had a lot more choice in picking classes and like level of difficulty of classes. In Tajikistan, you kind of just follow the program and you stick to it. You don't really have a choice of schedule or choice of electives. You just do what's assigned to your grade level and you just go through those grades and then you pass. You basically work your hardest to pass, or then you do summer school if you don't pass. And that's how it is.
And obviously you're younger, but do you think that that's more because of like economic reasons, like they can't afford to have more teachers, or do you think it's more like a cultural thing, like they think that that's how you should be teaching kids?
I think it's just a cultural difference because so while I didn't have like much options for classes in Tajikistan or like any option at all, I just had to follow the private school's curriculum. I think the goal was to like teach as much shit at once because when I was in grade 5, which is here it's elementary school, right? I was doing physics, chem, and bio in one like year. So we don't, there's no like half years, it's like a whole year class in Tajikistan. So I would be doing biochemistry and physics at the same time, which is insane
I see what
for
you're
fifth
saying.
grade. It's pretty crazy.
It's definitely like less of a balance of what topics you're learning. But we'll touch on that more a little later. Back to, I guess, the circumstances that arose. Again, you were younger, but do you remember like what your parents kind of depicted the reasons for your like what your future would be like in America? Like, do you know what kind of hopes they had? What sort of like how they were sort of depicting it to you and how that sort of dictated how you felt about the move?
I mean, I felt pretty excited about the move, but not really because my parents painted it to me, but mostly because like I consumed American media too.
So you were like,
I like,
ooh,
yeah, I was like,
America.
ooh, America, yeah, like,
McDonald.
true, true. But yeah, I don't know if my parents really contributed that much. I mean, they tried to hype me up, of course, because parents will do, but the media contributed more than my parents into kind of getting excited into moving.
Okay. I mean that makes sense. Is it more so the media itself, or how the media depicted America?
The way the media depicted America, I mean, it's definitely kind of like, what is the word? Over-exaggerated, I guess. Like it's not like that.
Everything's bigger in Texas, you know what I mean? Like that type
Yeah,
of thing, you
yeah.
know? That's funny. But we talk about that a little bit more later too, so we can move on. Can you describe, and again, you might not remember, but can you describe the economic or political situation in Tajikistan around the time of your departure?
So this is just from my understanding. I believe Tajikistan is still under dictatorship of the same president that was around in 2015, and I think was in rule since like 2002. So I think my parents just wanted to get out of that because I don't think anyone wants to live in a country ruled by a dictator.
But like for example, right? Like they aren't a a marginalized population, in Tajikistan specifically, I mean. So like, do you think that it was the sort of social changes it might bring, the economic changes it might bring? Like, what do you think their fear was? Like, obviously, like the fear of a dictator is significant, but specifically, I guess, what consequence of that do you think that was most prevalent to them? And not most prevalent, but like most, on their mind.
Well, I think they probably assume that the country is not gonna develop and move forward at the same pace as other countries.
That makes
And
sense.
then in turn, like, they can't grow because my parents are relatively young. They're only 45 right now.
Okay.
So,
So they were like 23 when
and
they had you. Okay, got it.
yeah. And obviously I can develop, so the goal is to move and develop somewhere better.
Well, yeah, no, and that definitely makes sense, and especially on like an educational level, as you were saying, the sort of availability, not necessarily economically, but of further education, higher education in America is obviously like, so important to so many different cultures. And such a privilege to obviously like that, it's just been a part of my life. I was born into it, So can you discuss the differences between how you adjusted to life in America and how your parents did?
I think my dad probably had a little bit easier time in terms of language, just because I know that he wrote articles in English too when he
That
was a
makes sense.
journalist. So for him, it was definitely easier. As for me, I mean, I already talked a little about it. For me, it was pretty difficult, from both like language barrier but also social aspect. People were just kind of a lot more friendly, I guess, is the word.
They
Like
were friendly. They were friendly.
straight up, like people here were friendlier than back in Tajikistan. Just because of how like the culture, I guess, shapes people up.
Do you think that sort of friendliness derives from, I mean, I know you said more social acceptance, but do you think it's a sort of like display of like a more individualistic society in Tajikistan, or do you think it's rather a sort of just warmer, empathetic, like affirmation of emotions in America? Like, do you think that we just are more aware and more tentative to like others' emotions?
Yeah, I think it's the second. I feel like it's just, again, education kind of teaches people to communicate people better and kind of understand people better and work with other people better. So education drives that. And then once generations build upon that, the communication level increases. But in case of Tajikistan, if that education level is not like kind of improving and it's stagnant and it's just the same education that was provided in, let's say, Soviet Union, because it was part of Soviet Union. So the way it's structured is mostly based after Soviet Union education system, which is stagnant. It doesn't develop, so the people also don't develop and don't
That
grow.
makes a lot of sense. Sometimes people, and this is kind of like in like a very abstract, but sometimes people talk about struggling countries, like let's say like a Middle Eastern country with human rights issues, and they're like, okay, well, they don't have gay rights there, you know what I mean? And they use that to seem to imply a sort of barbarianism. Like that's like implicit to them. I'm sorry, not implicit, but like internal to them. But obviously, as you said, it's just a display of a stagnant education, when you
Yeah,
keep.
I don't think it's barbarism at all. It's just,
No,
like
yeah.
I said, it's just lack of education.
When you can't figure out where your next meal is gonna come from, how are you gonna like learn about like political theory, like why being gay is okay, you know what I mean?
That's true. That's true. I mean, that's the case, I guess, for a lot of people in the Tajik population. It wasn't the case for me though. Like I've never really, like my family was doing pretty good financially. That's why we were able to even accomplish a move. Like you cannot just, pick up your shit and then go to a different country,
Definitely,
even
bro.
as a refugee without money. Like you can't do it without
Definitely,
money.
yeah.
So my parents
It's a
saved up a
privilege,
lot,
yeah.
and we definitely like weren't a struggling family in Tajikistan.
So do you think they knew, like, how long do you think they knew before they told you that you guys were gonna go?
Probably a while. I mean, definitely not like me with 4 months, but I don't know. I'm sure as soon as like signs of legal trouble started happening, my dad was like, "Oh shit, yeah, like time to
Do
get
you
him
think
back
probably
to."
soon after he
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure even before there were thoughts a little bit like, "Oh, like this country kind of sucks. Like, let's go elsewhere."
and America, I guess, you know, seems like the fun place to go, you know.
It is a fun place to go.
No,
I'm
yeah.
pretty successful here, so
That's
it
true,
worked
yeah.
out.
Studying, you know, IT at George Mason. Do you think that if your parents said, like, for example, we're moving to France, like, do you think you would have been like, what? Like, do you think the sort of like American dream, like, I know it's so stereotypical, but like the sort of like American dream is what played into your sort of excitement?
No, I think, I mean, any other country, it would be just kind of like, what the fuck for me because of language. I feel like America is just an obvious choice because of language and kind of diversity and also the ability of just like different people to come together and live together. That was the primary appeal, but not so like the American dream.
Okay, so
Because
really,
I feel like with France especially too, like in the European countries it's much harder to immigrate to. I feel like.
yeah, but in wait, one sec. It says,
All good.
running out of time? Like, can you only have 30-minute long meetings?
Oh yeah. It's
What?
because it's free. It's free version, so it's 30 minutes long. So we have
Oh,
9 minutes.
man.
We can just make another Zoom meeting after this one runs
Oh,
out.
okay. Say
Big
less.
deal.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, I knew. I didn't even know. That's so stupid. Anyways, sorry. Let me go back. I got a notification about that. Sorry. I'm just returning to back to where we were. American dream. Oh, okay. Yeah. So we're talking about. So do you think it's harder to immigrate to European countries because of the sort of social ostracization you face, and like how like America is more accepting of immigrants? Or do you mean more policy? Is Tajikistan part of the EU?
Tajikistan is not part of EU.
Okay.
It was part of Soviet Union. I think there's only two or three countries that were part of Soviet Union and
That
not
are in
part of
EU,
EU.
yeah.
Tajikistan is not. I don't think any stand is.
Got it, got it, got it.
But going back to the question, I think in case of Europe, I feel like it's just the policies and documentation is just harder than United States. I know it with the United States over the last couple of years it gotten harder a little bit more, but I think back in like 2015 when my family were moving, seemed like an easier option. And also financially probably easier too than Europe.
Do you, and this kind of plays into it, and you might not know, but you keep using the word refugee. Do you know any specifically policies or political decisions that affected your family's journey? And that might not even be like a specific act, but more so like, do you know, I mean, you're not part of DACA, you're not a dreamer, but as an example, you know what I mean?
I do not know.
Okay,
No.
no worries. Were you? Do you know if you were in a like technically an asylum seeker?
Yes, I was a political asylee. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess the next question you probably don't know, which is, how your family sort of went about the naturalization process.
I have so I know that my family, I didn't have to participate in that because I was
You
too
were
young
14.
when I was
Yeah.
moving, but I know that my family had to go through like interview through lawyers to build a case around because you have to go to like to court to prove your case that like you actually need a refuge in this
In
country.
America, you mean you have to
Yeah.
report in America. So
Yeah,
is that
I don't know. I don't know if it's like every, it's probably case by case, but I know that my family had to do that. So that's just
but
for
it's
my
after you
employment.
already got here, right?
Yeah, that's after I got
Okay.
here. That was also like I know they did that like 3 years into living here. It's a very slow process.
Yeah,
It
yeah,
takes
yeah.
time
Declaring
to.
asylum takes time.
Yeah.
And interestingly, and this kind of also a little abstract, but that's kind of the problem with what was happening during the Trump administration when Trump was kicking out asylum seekers at the border. But obviously, to declare asylum, you have to come to America
Yeah.
first, go to a police station, declare asylum, and then the process begins. But obviously, if you deport them before they declare asylum, then there's no, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no opportunity for it, it's anyways, do you think these like do you think the influences that oh, sorry, not the influences, but the political attitudes of the years following, specifically the Trump administration, where I guess immigration was kind of like seen negatively. Do you think that that would have affected your ability to immigrate? And obviously that's a bit of like a hypothetical, but you were an immigrant pretty fresh when the Trump administration began, which is very anti-immigrant.
No, I think the timing worked out really well. I think I probably my family probably would have had a harder time, but because we did get in like pretty much a year and a half before Trump administration started, it can kind of give us a lot of time, like build a case or whatnot. Yeah.
Because you were saying 3 years, so that was after, but you declared asylum like pretty soon after arriving, right? Like after arriving, probably instantly, right? Okay. How did the political discourse at the time like affect you or your family's sense of belonging? It might not have, because obviously the sort of focus of Trump's xenophobia was, Muslim immigrants and Mexican immigrants. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think it really affected us at all, honestly. I mean, we kind of just kept on living our lives.
Did
Like,
the
yeah.
way that you and this is a two-part question, did the way that you viewed immigration to America change? And also, did the way that you believe that America viewed immigration change?
Because of Trump's administration?
Yeah. I just feel like it was a big, me personally, I feel like it was a big change.
I think yeah, I think it did change the view, but I don't think it really kind of affected my view on immigration.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. For the general public, yeah, for sure, but not for me or like my family.
Okay. That makes sense. There's sort of a closed gate idea where often, immigrants come to America, and then once they get here, they're like, okay, we should stop immigration. No more immigrants. Did you, I mean, I guess you were an asylum seeker. You weren't part of sort of any mass exodus, to America. But do you think that that affected it at all?
No. No, not really. Yeah.
We're gonna I just realized it's kind of a big change in topic, but I think it's a good change just because we're
Yeah,
kind
change
of
recordings.
we're gonna change the recordings real quick.
Replace the tape.
One sec. I'm gonna invite you to the next meeting.
That'd be.
Okay.
Wait, are you able to cut stuff?
No. Okay, so to jump back into it, we were kind of talking about how your perceptions of America changed before and after coming to America, like on American like culture and stuff. And I think like there's no other like sort of zeitgeist of American culture like the like high school, you know. So can you describe the main difference between educational systems, specifically like the relationship between students and teachers and how that sort of affected like the teaching methods?
Well, okay. First of all, High School Musical lied. It was nothing like that.
It
Like, at all.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
No one is on the varsity basketball team while also being in drama.
Nope. But I already talked a little bit about this, but educational difference wise, I feel like in Tajikistan it was a lot more rigorous. Like you constantly have to be learning sciences, math, stuff like that. Not really any fun classes. But in middle school and high school in America, I was able to like do art, do like what is that class called where you cut wood and like make wooden
Woodshop.
sculpt woodshop. Yeah, like wooden sculptures and stuff. That stuff was really cool. And then in high school you also get to choose like how far you want to get with math and what level of math, what level of English, and like you get to choose a language to
What about like
study to.
teaching? Oh, sorry.
Teaching methods? It's kind of hard to compare because teaching methods, I mean, it was for me like Tajik elementary, then middle school, high school in here. So obviously teaching methods between elementary, middle school, and high school will vary regardless of what country, like even within the United States, is gonna
For
vary.
sure.
I feel like in elementary, for me at least, in Tajikistan, it was a lot more personal. Like, I feel like I could talk to my teacher about a lot of things. But in middle school and high school, it's not so much of a cultural difference, but it's just me, like, growing up as a person. Obviously, like, I'm not gonna go fucking tell my teacher that I like, pissed my pants. Like, I'm not gonna tell that to the middle school teacher, high school teacher. But yeah. That's the difference, I guess, like less personal as you grow older.
Did that affect your learning experience, do you think? Like, do you think that's sort of like culture shock? Because, by the way, I think but what you said was right. The difference between elementary and middle school, like even in America, is quite big on the sort of student-teacher relationships, and like what sort of role like the teacher plays in your life. But do you think that like impacted you in the beginning? Do you think you acclimated pretty fast? Do you think you were ready for the change?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I got so they put you through the ESL program here when you're like have language barrier and your English is not good. And I got out of that program by the end of middle school, and I only did half of 7th grade and then 8th grade here. So like a year and a half, they're already okay, cool. Like this kid's language is good enough. Like go take normal classes now is like cool. But yeah, I adjusted pretty fast. I in the high school I was in honors and AP classes, so like I picked up stuff pretty fast. Fun fact, actually, in middle school, when I was doing math 7 in America was like kind of 2 grades behind on what I was doing in Tajikistan in math
Oh,
class.
so you're doing much harder math.
Yeah, my math was much harder in
Did
Tajikistan.
This is a little bit of an abstract as well. Because of the space race, okay, in Soviet era education, similarly to American education, there was a huge emphasis on math and science for a really long time. So do
Oh
you
yeah.
think that that is probably related? That's interesting. Because
Absolutely.
we kind of move away from that now in America, you
Yeah,
know.
yeah. But we already talked about this. Remember how Tajik education system is, I mean, Kenyan's
But I
education
didn't
system,
know.
it's just stagnant.
I didn't know if you meant like culturally or like actually like curriculum. You know
Oh,
what
actually,
I mean?
curriculum. Yeah, I talked about it a little bit. I was doing literally sixth grade. I remember doing algebra, geometry, physics, chemistry, bio. And then Tajik, Russian language, Russian literature. So 9 classes in 1 year.
That's pretty crazy.
It
That's pretty
was
crazy.
pretty insane. And also you do all of those, so there's no like a B. So in American high school that I went to, we had A days and B days. I'm sure you had probably something similar. So you don't have like all the classes crammed. You don't have that in Tajikistan. You do all 9 classes in 1 day. So it
That
will be
sounds
like
awful.
45 minutes to an hour of each class, dude, and you just go. It's pretty crazy.
That sounds exhausting.
It
That
is.
somehow makes American high school look good.
Yeah, I mean, you can do like extracurricular activities and like work with American system. Well, at least I did. Like, I worked in high school since like sophomore year of high school. I don't think I would be able to do that in Tajikistan just because classes get harder and harder as you go. Like, as you can imagine, I can't imagine, but 9th, 10th grade and like 11th grade, it's probably gets pretty rough because they also make you do like standardized tests to get into college, but those are like very, very important. Like, the score really determines where you can go. But with here we have what are they called? SATs. But I feel like SATs don't really like determine as much because you can still have
Good
good
grades.
GPA, good GPA, good background, extracurriculars, whatever,
But that
and
matters
still
much
get into
less.
college. Yeah, that matters much less.
So
It's all about the standardized tests.
that kind of relates to the next question. What difference in role did like extracurricular activities play, and like how did that sort of affect how you saw like success, you know what I mean? Because obviously like success should be like a balance of like education, but also like how you interact with like the world around you, whether it's friends or whatnot.
Well, when I was younger, I guess in Tajikistan, success to me looked like just getting good grades, and like keeping good grades throughout the years. I had so in Tajikistan, the grades are 1 through 5, 5 being the highest, 1 being the lowest, and like for all of my yearly grades, I would get 5s usually all the time. So that what success looked to me, but as I moved here, honestly, that kind of still stayed the same with me. Like, I was still thriving to get A's in all my classes, but in high school, it definitely decreased. Junior, senior year, I kind of just said, hey, I'm going to, George Mason University. I don't really, my grades don't have to be perfect. But yeah.
Are you saying that sort of cultural shift was a result of you coming to America and experiencing different things?
I guess, yeah. I would say experiencing other things besides school contributes to doing less school.
No, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think that it aided you in your educational success? That's sort of like understanding the balance of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of why I'm successful in college is because high school really showed me that I don't need to, strive for perfection. I can have a work, social, school life balance and still like maintain all of those three things pretty well.
Do you think, and obviously, American high school, I sorry, you never went to Tajikistani high school, but do you think that you might have learned that in Tajikistan as well? Or do you think that this is sort of a fortunate privilege that, like, American culture kind of comes to school?
I don't know. It's hard to imagine how I would be in Tajik high school because the experience, I think it would be really different. Not necessarily like in a bad or a good way, it just would be different.
Besides like language, what were some of the challenges you faced when adjusting to the American school system?
Honestly, it wasn't like a challenge, but it was just a little shocking. But at first, it was definitely less homework. I was like, wow, I need to do like way less stuff now. And then just play video games the rest of the day. And like, that's crazy.
What about like the environment? Like the people,
Oh, I mean, the people definitely were like, especially when I had a language barrier, people that I was surrounded with, both like the peers and the teachers, were really kind to me and were willing to work with me so I can learn better and like that I'm comfortable. And honestly, I don't know if like a person in Tajikistan was similar. Like, let's say I'm in a typical like Tajik classroom and we get a person whose language, like they cannot speak Tajik or they cannot speak Russian very well. They're like French or something. I think they would get vastly different treatment. I don't think they would be like as kind and as open to teach and help them out compared to here.
What about like the social norms within the classroom? How t like students interacted with teachers, for example, how they interacted with each other, etc.
I think Tajikistan is a little bit more strict on like student to teacher interaction. Like I feel like even in high school, like I personally didn't really have any like friend teachers, but there's definitely like I would see people around me, like my peers that would have like a good connection with some teachers. But I don't think you could really have that in Tajikistan as you grow older, because the classes just get stricter and stricter. Oh, and also one thing, private, since I went to a private school in Tajikistan, I had to wear a uniform. And when I moved here, I didn't have to, which was super exciting because I hated wearing the uniform. Like, stuff is dumb. Kids want to express themselves, they don't want to wear fucking dress up suit every day.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about. You were talking about like how strict the classroom was. Do you think that that's because they think that like order is necessary for learning, or that order is necessary for like wearing uniform and stuff, like lack of expression and stuff like that?
I think they believe order is necessary for learning.
So you think it's less like a cultural thing and more of like a foundational learning thing?
It's again just going back to like Soviet Union education and just falling on that outdated system and not really seeing other options and exploring them.
And what was that like for you?
I mean, for me, when I got to wear shorts and t-shirt and like go in whatever I want, that was pretty awesome. Like, it was very liberating. I don't like I don't wear suits ever. It's just not, I don't feel comfortable in them. And honestly, I feel like part of the fact that I had to wear them so much back in Tajikistan, like every day to school, is why I like don't really wear suits anymore. Like I just do not like dress up clothes.
And you think that's probably like a symptom of these sort of forced order, I guess, that Tajikistan is
Absolutely.
in.
I've never really actually thought about that until like we had this discussion. But yeah, I believe like the fact that I was like forced to do that every single day. Also, one other difference, we had school Monday through Saturday.
Okay,
Not Monday through Friday.
that's a
Yeah, it's a
big
huge
difference.
difference.
That's
Yeah.
a
Saturday
really
we had
big.
half days though.
N Even
Saturday they're
still,
like it yeah, Saturday they're like nice enough to give you half day.
that's
But
wild.
it was Monday through
That's
Saturday.
like even like 2 day weekends f felt so short.
Oh
Feels
yeah.
so
Oh
short.
yeah. Absolutely. In college right now I have like 3 day weekends
And yeah,
because of the way I schedule I set up.
even that, like Monday comes, you're like, how did I miss away an entire 3 days? Like,
But yeah,
that's
no.
wild.
Definitely an effect of like being forced into doing that is why like I do not wear dress up clothes anymore. Just
Do
nah.
people dress expressively in Tajikistan outside of school?
Not well, yes and no. It depends on the areas. I feel like Tajikistan has a lot of very traditional clothing that like both men and women will wear, and that's what will like very, I don't want to say like patriotic, but like culturally involved Tajiks would wear. And like there is variations in those like clothing genres, I guess, or like, but it's like not in United States where people can just, sometimes walk naked and whatever, nothing happens.
I see what you
Well,
said. Yeah.
yeah.
I don't necessarily mean like, yeah, like I mean more like when I think of like dressing expressively, I think of like some crazy like yellow, like thick pants, like leather yellow pants, like big
No,
heels,
no,
like
no, no,
some like
never,
Russian like
never.
cyberpunk
No,
stuff, you
pe
know what I mean?
nah, people would laugh or like just mock or judge.
Me,
That,
yeah. Because people don't do that in America, but like, at least like my school was 700 people in
yeah.
my grade, 4,000 people in my high school.
Yeah, no,
But
but
like,
also like
someone's
you go
had them
to
do
like New York City, and if somebody is like, working or walking like a cyberpunk character, that's whatever. Like nobody's gonna say anything.
No, and I know you're kind of strapped on time, so I'll move us on. We only got a couple more questions. In what ways has American media influenced your personal identity, or your cultural perspective since you've come to America?
I don't really know what specific ways, but I can definitely note that I started using American media like pretty much exclusive, or not exclusively, but a lot more when I moved here. For example, in Tajikistan, I use VKontakte, which is basically kind of like Russian Facebook. I use that. I don't really use that much anymore. And then when I moved here, I got Snapchat and then Reddit. And that would be like my primary social media, still to this day, what I use. But I don't really use as much of Russian social media anymore.
And just to specify, by the way, because that's actually really interesting and not at all what I meant, but that's actually really, I never even thought about that. I mean more so like by media, I don't mean social media, I just mean like movies, TVs, etc., etc. Specifically because, by the way, like I think at 14, like I probably had one social media, you know what I mean? Like probably had whatever one of my homies told me to get, you know?
Yeah, true, true, true. Kind of hard to think about how it shaped my cultural identity, because even back in Tajikistan, I would still consume American media. Like I wasn't just consuming Russian slash like Soviet Union media. I was still consuming a mix of all. So like me moving didn't really change the fact that I was consuming different kind of media. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
No, I mean it does, but whether or not it changed, I'm also mean how it affected your views, not maybe on people, on America, etc. You know what I mean?
I mean, again, it's just like such a broad question.
I know,
Because
super abstract, but like,
like the media, all media changes your personality. Like obviously me consuming, like I can bring an example, Mr. Robot, easily my favorite TV show, is a reason why I'm in IT, because it showed me how I can do so much crazy stuff with computers.
we were
So
talking about
the
High School Musical as like a joke, but I mean that's kind of a good example because because obviously we both know that high school wasn't going to be that way, but that's sort of like certain shows did make me feel like high school would be like how they depicted it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, is there anything that like you watched as a kid where you're like, wow, that is what I think America is going to be like?
No, not really.
Never.
Yeah, I don't think there's like a single piece of media. No. The stuff I watched as a kid wasn't very like realistic, I'd say. I feel like as a kid I was just more attracted to experiencing stuff of outwardly experience, let's say that.
No, that's valid. Yeah. And I think that like maybe if you were like 30 and you were immigrating to America
No,
after,
absolutely.
for example, my cousin, he didn't immigrate here. He's from Italy, lives in Belgium. He visited back in, I want to say May, and I was driving him around and we drove past a gas station and he goes, "Oh, ooh, gas station." And I was like, "What are you getting so excited for?" He goes, "It's an American gas station." And I was like, "What?" Like, he's like, "No, you don't understand. Like, I see these in the movies." And
Okay,
I was
no.
like,
I did have that moment with like McDonald's because we don't have McDonald's in Tajikistan. So when I came
okay.
here and I saw the first McDonald's, I was like,
You're
ooh,
like golden
McDonald's.
arches.
Yeah, dude, I was like, holy shit.
How did that make you feel? Like, what is kind of going through your head?
I mean, I was pretty excited, but then I had it and I was like, damn, this is
This is ass.
kind of mid.
Yeah, this is not. The golden arches are sick, but this is
I
not
like
that
Burger. My family, when we moved here, we loved Burger King for
good.
some
Oh my
reason.
god, that's
Like
such a
we,
bad take.
yeah, no, we don't, and not ever anymore. Like you'll never catch me going to Burger King ever again. I didn't even know how that place is still functional, but
Yeah, you should be legal to go to Burger King.
they should put you in the watch list once you go to Burger King.
Yeah. And for fun, like my final formal question, how does the humor and messaging in American cartoons differ from like Soviet and Tajikistani cartoons?
So my favorite Russian cartoon is called Treasure Island. It has nothing to do with the American, or I think it's British or
I know what you're
American,
talking
but
about. Yeah.
yeah, has nothing to do with that. But it is about pirates and it is about a treasure island. And that entire mo cartoon is basically the way it's made is there's like a few live action scenes within the cartoon where the voice actors will sing, and the entire movie is like kind of like alcohol and smoking or like anti-smoking, anti-alcoholism propaganda, which is kind of crazy. Like you wouldn't really watch that as a kid here. Like you don't really watch, and even when it is like propaganda, you'll go to like high school or like middle school and you will do it like in your physical education
Yeah, they just
classes.
shove it down your throat there. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll just shove it down your throat like explicitly. They'll be like, drugs are bad, blah blah blah. But then in Soviet or in Tajikistan, when I was watching the cartoon from Soviet Union, I watched lots of Soviet Union cartoons because my parents grew up on them and then they showed me them. But that one is my favorite. It's all just like no smoking, no drinking songs mixed in with like pirate cartoon for kids, which is insane.
Yeah.
It is an insanely trippy movie or cartoon. I love it.
That's actually so funny. So you think that it's a little bit more preachy, like it's less
Yeah,
like
no. I feel like,
less childhood wonder, more don't smoke cigarettes.
yeah, less childhood wonder and more like real shit, like live lessons. Like every cartoon I watched, that was like from Soviet Union era, had some sort of a message or a life lesson in it to teach. Like very little of it was just like pure entertainment. All of it tried to be really deep.
Wait, what? Why am I not getting a warning? I swear it's about to be 30 minutes again, but it's okay. Or maybe not, because. Yeah, okay. We have time.
We still have a few
5 minutes,
minutes.
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, like, do you think that that sort of like lack of emphasis on childlike wonder? Because obviously, like, you know. Like when I was five, okay, like in kindergarten, the day, sounds so dumb. The day before Christmas break, we sat down, we got hot chocolate, we watched Polar Express. You know what I mean? Like that's like a
Yeah.
core. Now, like when I think of like how Christmas used to make me feel, like that's, and I'm Jewish by the way. Like I don't even celebrate Christmas. Like that's
Yeah.
how Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, do you think that sort of like lack of emphasis on childlike wonder would be like misplaced by me, or do you think that that's kind of how it was?
No, I mean, I was still excited for holidays and stuff
No,
growing
not
in.
necessarily
Not
on like
just that.
holidays, but like I just mean like this, like you know, like Disney World, you know, shit like that, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, I got you. No, I mean, I guess I had like a balance because, well, because the media that I would watch, like, for that child wonder would be American media. So like American cartoons, like I watched a lot of Disney cartoons in dub in Russian. So like, and a lot of cartoons. I've been rewatching a few movies slash cartoons from my past. I'm watching in English only for the first time, and I'm 22. So, yeah,
That's
it's pretty
funny.
crazy.
No, yeah. And kind of just for some specific memory questions, just
Yeah.
for funsies, we were
Yep.
talking about, you know, Gordon Archston and stuff. So what was your first memory in America? Like, what do you remember? Like, when you look back, like, what do you think? Like, damn, I'm in America. Like, what do you think about? Past
I
the
rem
airport, you know?
I remember our Airbnb being really fucking fancy, and then also Burger King
Did you come
land.
to
It was like,
Amer Did you come to Virginia instantly, Northern Virginia?
yes. We came to Northern Virginia. I think we stayed like an Airbnb close to the apartment that my parents were getting in Herndon, and then we just stayed there. Yeah, I never really lived anywhere outside of Virginia since I moved here.
What was the first American thing you did?
Trying to think. I don't know, it's definitely not the first thing I did, but it's definitely the vivid memory of it is going to Six Flags with my parents. Like that was definitely like the most American memory that's just engraved in my childhood is
Yeah,
Six
just like
Flags,
yeah, like Six Flags, like you
the
guys just
amusement
standing there
park.
awkwardly like watching like a bunch of American people like, be loud and walk by and you're like, oh my God, where
Yep.
am I? That sounds so funny. What was the first American movie you watched?
Lord of the Rings. My parents had it on VHS in English with Russian subtitles,
Wow.
because they didn't have Russian dub, and I watched Lord of the Rings, and it was also the extended versions, and I was like, damn, this stuff is wild. You had to replace the VHS tape halfway through the movie, because each movie was two VHS tapes. It's kind of annoying.
There used to be like campaigns like that on video games. Like I'd buy. Oh my God! There used to be like I would have like there was this one game I bought where I had like three discs, bro. One was for multiplayer, and then two of them were for a campaign. I think it was like Black Ops 2 or something. I mean like Modern Warfare 3. What was the first American cartoon you watched?
Avatar: The Last Airbender.
That's fire. What about your
Rewatching
first?
it now, it's so good.
What about your first time going to an American mall?
Oh, well, okay, so my experience with American malls is like, it wasn't really cultural shocking because I've been to Turkey prior to America many times, and Turkish malls are malls in like developed countries are very similar across the world. They're not, it's just like clothing stores plus food. That's the mall. So I wasn't really like, oh wow, mall. Like I wasn't really shocked or anything by that experience because I already
That
experienced
makes
that
sense.
before.
Yeah, in Turkey, that makes a lot of sense.
I believe actually Tajikistan has built a mall like in 2019.
They have a mall now.
Yeah, they have a mall.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's a start though, jokes aside. And then last question, because I know you have to go. First time going to an American movie theater, and what did you see?
I would have, hold on, let me Google year 2015 movies. I don't even remember. Oh, right. I think I want to see Avengers Age of Ultron. But I mean, it wasn't really any different except the language. It was still a movie theater experience. They have movie theaters in Tajikistan, and
It's similar vibe and stuff.
yeah, I wasn't, my movie theater experience wasn't really like mind blowing until I went to see Star Wars: The Force Awakens, like Episode 7, in the Airspace Museum. Because they have like the biggest IMAX screen there in the United States. That was pretty mind blowing, but that was like 2017, I believe. So it wasn't like an early American experience. Ugh.
Okay, well, thank you, Max, for the
No
interview.
problem.
I will be sending you a consent form,
Okay.
for all of this. But
Sounds good.
otherwise, I appreciate all of your time. Thank you for answering my questions. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm gonna end the recording now.